Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of Red Auerbach and what he meant. Sort of the John Wooden, if you will, of pro basketball. Those two and Vince Lombardi, to me, are at the very pinnacle of the greatness in coaching and the strategy, the insight into people, how to push the right buttons. And we're joined by someone who's had to push buttons for many years in Major League Baseball, Jim Beatty. Before we get on to the World Series, when you think of a leader like a Red Auerbach and the grandfatherly mentoring role that he played the last 25 years for the Boston Celtics, can you think of anyone in baseball that could approximate his level of impact on the game?
Well, that's a pretty tough one. You know, you have to go back to probably the 60s or so when you start to take a look at some of the guys that were general managers or managers. You know, it's so tough to come up with something like that. I'd like to say someone like even Casey Stengel when he was around, but not with the success. You know, having grown up in Maine, you know, when Red lit that cigar, everybody knew it was in the bank.
And that cigar probably upset as many people as it delighted in Boston, but he had style. And what I thought was most important about him was the way that he had insight, a little bit like a Bill Parcells, into the individual motivating buttons of each player.
Well, you mentioned a great comparison in college basketball and John Wooden. Having grown up watching basketball and seeing these guys, you know, he got players that were winners, you know, guys that came from great programs, colleges, high schools, whatever they were, guys that went out there expecting to win, and you wouldn't necessarily think were the most talented players, but became part of a team that was the most talented team.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Jim Beatty, who, by the way, was an outstanding college basketball player at that Dartmouth basketball behemoth in Hanover, New Hampshire. We're going to talk about the World Series with Jim Beatty on Head Games Radio. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
I'm Dave Meltzer, host of the Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And if you're a fan of pro wrestling and want to know what's happening before anybody else, you should subscribe to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. It comes out every week and it covers wrestling all over the world. The biggest names in pro wrestling and the most knowledgeable fans all subscribe to it as the leading source of inside information anywhere. Just go to www.wrestlingobserver.com and there's information on how to get a subscription. If you go to the website right now, you can even get information on how to get a couple of free issues of your choice. So go to www.wrestlingobserver.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Poggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. And Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. We're joined by two-time Major League Baseball General Manager Jim Beattie with the Expos and the Orioles. And Jim, it seemed as if it was inevitable by midway through the game on, what night was that? Friday night? It seemed as if it was inevitable. And yet, only a week earlier, people thought that Detroit had all the momentum. Was it the layoff?
Well, I think the layoff hurt Detroit. You know, they had the momentum going in, but with respect to the Cardinals continuing to play, continuing to have to bring themselves up emotionally every night when their tough series with the Mets, and they responded. They responded. They snuck by the Mets, as a lot of people. That was a big upset with respect to that. I think that was probably the toughest series that the Cardinals had to get to, and their starting pitching was outstanding. Their offense kind of lagged, and their offense picked it up a little bit and were able to score some runs when they got into the World Series, unlike Detroit's.
Well, Bob Melvin commented on what he thought Detroit would have to do.
You know, you've exhausted pretty much all you can do. I mean, everybody knows the urgency of today's game. So, they expect these guys to go out and he's going to probably try to force the game a little bit early, maybe if he gets some guys on, maybe hit and run a little bit and try to put some pressure on the other side. But it's not like, you're going to have a team that's going out there flat tonight. You know, they know what's involved. There's a lot of urgency. You know, there's a lot of momentum against them right now. But if you just look the matchup truly for what it is tonight, you would think that Detroit has an edge on the matchup, at least at the pitching end. So,
at the pitching end, and that's where Weaver came in. And that was an incredibly important decision. With Reyes pitching so well in that first game, many people thought you go with the hot hand. But he chose Weaver. Why do you think that was? And what was it about the game plan that Weaver executed so perfectly?
Well, obviously he made his pitches. That's the most important part. Go out there and you're able to execute. I mean, as they got to the point, and I think the pitchers in particular, when they were attacking Detroit's club, attacking their hitters, they knew that there were weaknesses that they could exploit as long as they were able to make the pitches. And Weaver went out there and did that. He made them hit the ball. He didn't walk the guys. He got some good plays made behind him. And, it really came down to some pretty good pitching, beating an offense that really wasn't at its peak when it needed to be.
And then you've got, in addition to Weaver, the wonderful story of Adam Wainwright, who didn't even know if he'd make the team in spring training. He ends up being the closer. His transition, taking over from Isringhausen, I think, is another example of the genius of a Tony La Russa.
Well, you know, oftentimes you're forced in situations that turn out better than you could have expected, and that certainly was one, to try to figure out who is going to be your closer, because a closer is so important when you get into the playoffs. But to try to figure that out, essentially, when you're in the playoffs, is such a tough way to go, and to place your trust in somebody like that was a very difficult thing for them to do, but when you have an injury, you have no other choice. You have to do it that way, and it worked out well for the Cardinals.
Well, since we talked about basketball earlier, I thought I'd borrow a line from our friend Peter Gammons. He said, "It's not about the best player at every position. October baseball is like March college hoops. Random, sneaky, streaky. Proof that most of the sports predictions are totally invalid and intellectually dishonest." Do you think that's true?
Well, I think it's true. You know, I was reading an article today where a guy said that Detroit was going to win in four. He thought that they were just going to roll over the Cardinals. And he's admitting today that, he was one of the idiots that called that way. And when you get into the playoffs, it is who's hot, who's streaky, who's going well. And I think it was not necessarily a matter of that the Cardinals were streakier. It's that the Detroit, with their layoff, turned out to be very, very cold, and in some cases even colder than the weather that they had to play in Detroit.
If you're a manager now and you're in the same situation, your team is red hot, they've beaten the Yankees, they've done whatever it took against Oakland, they've played extremely well. Now they've got a week off. What would you have done differently? Looking at what happened, stuck up there in Detroit, would you have gone, I think you mentioned going down perhaps to Florida, spend a couple days down there, make sure that your guys have a sort of game-ready intensity, because as you and I have talked, it's really less influential on the pitchers than it is on the batters.
Right, the hitters taking the time off, you know, messes up their timing. They need to see, and not just batting practice, or they need to see competition pitching where people are trying to get them out. They're throwing with the same velocity, and it's extremely tough to simulate when you're not in that situation. Whether they could have gone to Florida to do something like that, you know, I would expect that Jim Leland did as much as he could have done. I knew that they were working out in the football stadium in Detroit when it was very cold. They were trying to keep working out there, trying to. But playing is the one thing that keeps you sharper than anything else. You know, when players take 3 days off at the All-Star break, some guys come back and if they're pitchers and they haven't thrown very much, you know, they have a hard time hitting a glove again. And hitters are the same way. So having taken that amount of time off from playing more than anything else, it really put them behind the eight ball. I don't know, and certainly it's going to be something that any club gets in that situation again. I don't know how you could prepare your club to come out of that week layoff.
Well, you know what? We're going to be joined by Tom Flores in just a second to talk about the Raiders game and how that team has turned it around. Before we do, we're going to start a tradition today, which is who is the most clutch? Who was the performer under pressure in that World Series? Was it David Eckstein? Was it maybe Scott Rolen? Who was your MVP? But better yet, who was the guy that exemplified performance under pressure? And conversely, who was your guy that was the biggest choke, the biggest disappointment performance-wise in the World Series?
Well, I would say that, you know, they picked the right guy for the MVP. I think emotionally, psychologically, he was a big boost. Every time he did something, two out base hits. You know, the Cardinals in one game, I think they had four two out, maybe five two out base hits to drive in runs. And that's a tough, tough thing to do. Typically, if you get one or two in a game, you know, Eckstein had a couple. It really picked his club up. They came from behind in the game when they were down 3-0 to win 5-4, and that was, I think, the critical game that helped them. Eckstein was my guy for the best performance under pressure. You know, there's a bunch of guys, really, with Detroit, and again, you go to the hitters that didn't perform, but I think a big bat, although, you know, Magliordonez is a big bat in their lineup, and I think when they need it, the guy that, like an Eckstein, that really jump-starts their offense, Placido Polanco, had a great playoff series and just didn't get it done in the playoffs for whatever reasons. He couldn't generate any kind of spark on the base pass, to get on the bases, whatever, to get that offense going for Detroit.
Well, Jim Beatty, you came through under pressure, my friend, throughout this World Series in the playoffs. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you and see what's going on with you and with the free agency period that's starting in the next few weeks. But again, as always, you're a true pro, and thanks for joining us.
Nick, enjoy the NFL season. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Well, now we're going to switch to what has been the theme for this NFL season, which is the lack of predictability. My gosh, Tom Flores, one of the great coaches, a Super Bowl coach for the Raiders several times, also a general manager for the Seahawks as well. And we're going to talk about two games involving both the Seahawks and the Raiders with Len Dawson and Tom Flores. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. Just sitting here in Oakland, actually on my way home after that game yesterday, and you know, win's a win, but still, I mean, it was very unusual victory. That's all I can say. It's very unusual.
We're also joined by Len Dawson, who had an unusual game to witness where the Chiefs almost gave it back to Seattle. Len, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's always great to be with Tom, and Tom is being very diplomatic. When the defense outrushes and gets more yards than the offense, that is unusual.
Hey, Leonard, the best offensive drive we had all day was when we had back-to-back 15-yard penalties. That was the best offensive drive all day. I mean,
that's all the stats.
Leonard, I swear, in my 45 years of professional football,
I have never seen an offense so inept as it was yesterday. It's incredible, and still win the game. I mean, how's that?
Well, I saw guys, you know, that 17 yards passing.
Oh, man, it's just, you know, you hold your breath. You hold your breath when the offense is in the game.
Hey, guys, when we come back, let's go into more depth about that. It reminds me of a Chiefs-Steelers game when the Steelers had 510 yards in 1986, but we happened to have a kickoff return for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, a field goal block for a touchdown. That's the only way we were able to win that game. We're going to talk about the Raiders and their turnaround, at least on defense, with Len Dawson and somebody who could be in the Hall of Fame himself, Tom Flores, formerly head coach of the Raiders, when we come back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Shriners, building a better tomorrow for kids. A 70% burn victim at age 3. With the help of Shriners Hospitals, today, C.J. Williams is a beautiful young woman and talented athlete.
Whenever they first told me, the Shrine told me that there was no cash registers. We did not have to pay for this. And I kept saying, you know, how is that possible? That they paid 100%, or we'd have probably lost everything we had. It hadn't been for them, not counting my daughter, CJ.
Yeah, the Shriners do more than helping us with what happened to us. They also give us encouragement and know that there is a life after what happened to you.
Some of the world's best orthopedic and burn medical care is available totally without charge at Shriners Hospitals for Children. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For information, call 1-800-237-5055.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Sports Byline with Tom Flores and Len Dawson. And literally, Tom Flores is leaving on a jet plane, but I'm not sure that the Raiders' offense is doing it, is it? Tom? Are you with us?
I missed that last sentence that you said.
That's okay. I said that you're leaving on a jet plane, but it's not like Andrew Walter, Jerry Porter, and Randy Moss are leaving on a jet plane for an offense.
Well, I mean, it's just so inept. They're, you know, Andrew Walter is a young quarterback, but they've got to help him. And then when you do get somebody, Randy Moss has dropped more passes in the last two games than he probably drafted dropped in his whole career at Minnesota. So that's not good. I mean, you got to be able to catch the ball. Jerry Porter, that's been an issue. He just got activated, and he played yesterday and played fairly well for the time he was in there. But the offense as a whole is just very, very inept.
Well, before we get to the Raiders' defense, let's talk about the fateful decision to play a Ben Roethlisberger. It reminds me of Andy Reid continuing to play Donovan McNabb with his injury last year, a very different kind of injury. But Ben Roethlisberger has had so many hits of different kinds. Len Dawson, if you were the head coach and general manager for the Raiders, for the Steelers, would you actually have played Ben Roethlisberger 1 week after that concussion?
Well, he got the okay from the doctors in Pittsburgh. From what I understand, right there, they have the best concussion doctors in the world at Pittsburgh. Not just in Pittsburgh, but in the world. So he got the okay, and he probably wanted to play. But Tom could answer that better than me. I don't know how he's performing. All I can read is the stats of throwing four interceptions, two of them going back for touchdowns. I mean, you can't do that. Period. Giveaway, takeaway ratios, and when you're giving the ball away and getting penalized, you're in deep trouble.
Well, let's focus on something positive, Tom. Let's talk about that Raider defense. They have turned it around the last couple of weeks. What's been the secret for them?
Well, I think they're just getting better and better. They're a very young team. I mean, they're, you know, the veteran in their defensive backfield is a three-year guy. Their linebackers are all young. You know, they have two rookies starting, the strong safety Huff and one of the linebackers, and the old guy on the team, the only veteran old guy is Warren Sapp, and he's playing pretty good at this point. But they just have incredible speed, and they're playing very well, and they're able to step it up in the fourth quarter. That's the one thing that the Raiders have not had in a long time. They haven't been able to put anybody away or even keep the team in the game in the fourth quarter. The offense isn't getting it done, but the defense is keeping the game pretty close in the fourth quarter, able to take the ball away. And look, last year they had five interceptions in the entire year last year. They've already surpassed that this year.
Andrew Walter may not have had exactly a sterling performance, but late in the first half he drove them down for that short field goal to put them ahead 10-6, and psychologically he gave them that sense. And actually I think it was Jerry Porter with a 19-yard catch with about a minute 15 left that put them in that position. What do you think about Andrew Walter's performance thus far this year, and even with stats as he had yesterday, is this hopefully the beginning of a more confident Raiders team?
Well, I think it is. I like it. I like Walter. I think he's got all the throws. He's got height, and he's got poise in the pocket. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the offense around him that can protect him like they should. And he can make the throws. I mean, he can make the throws. But the one thing that he does, which a lot of young quarterbacks do, is when it's not there, he won't go elsewhere, just tuck it and run or throw it away. He tries to squeeze the ball in, and you can't do it at this level. You squeeze the ball in, the defense is too fast at this level, and that's where he gets in trouble.
Well, thank you for joining us, Tom, and on short notice. We appreciate it. We just wanted to celebrate some good news in Raider land, and hopefully we'll check in with you in a couple weeks to see how things are progressing.
Okay, I'll talk to you. I'll see you soon, Leonard.
I hope so, yes.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Coach. Well, actually, the Raiders and the Chiefs should be playing pretty soon. And let's talk about that game, because in the last 2 weeks, Leonard, late in the game, the Chiefs have found a way to win, but they've also found a way to keep it close.
That's better than saying dumb plays, Nick, I guess. But it's crazy. I mean, Kansas City had the ball 42 minutes to 18 for Seattle in that ball game. They amassed about 500 yards to... Well, I don't know what Seattle had, but not, you know, they didn't have 200 yards in the contest.
They had 240 yards.
240 yards. And they had that on one big play when Ty Law slipped and fell down. He took the bait on an out move, and it was an out and up move, and the receiver was wide open for a long touchdown. So they got most of those yardage on one or two plays. Kansas City's defense really did an outstanding job, but I'm sure you've seen the highlights of the holder that missed the snap and was bobbling it around there and tried to, I guess he tried to throw it, backhanded, You know, it reminded me of Carol Upremian.
Absolutely.
Did that in the Super Bowl against the Washington Redskins, and the defense was ready to kill that guy when he came to the sidelines. Because one mistake is enough. Don't compound it by making another mistake. So that ended up as a touchdown. And then Jared Allen plays very well defensively as a defensive end, rushing the passer. Ball is tipped. He catches it. Now, there's less than 2 minutes to go. If he goes to a knee, Nick, game is over. You know, it's over. Because Kansas City's up by 7 points. But no, he can't do that. He's a defensive lineman. He has to score a touchdown so he can tell his grandkids and everybody else that he scored a touchdown when he was in the NFL. And so he's running instead of getting out of bounds or going to a knee, you know, protect the football. He's trying to look like Larry Johnson running with a football. He said, I saw the end zone. I had to get in there. Well, what happened was a little old receiver, Branch, took the ball away from him, and they had to replay it to take a look and see what happened, and yes, indeed, he took the ball away, had possession of it with both feet in bounds before they both fell out of bounds. So it was a strange game. Perhaps they'll learn from the things that took place in that ball game yesterday, but the good thing for Kansas City is they're getting better, Nick. The offensive line was a problem. I heard Tom talking about the offensive line for the Raiders having a problem. Well, Kansas City, in the first few ball games, they had a problem protecting the quarterback. Thus, they had Damon Hewitt, who, incidentally, Nick, didn't know if he was going to play until game time because he pulled a groin muscle on Thursday, and it was game day, and he was out before the game, and I was watching him. He was moving real slow. Of course, he's not the quickest guy in the world anyway, but real slow. But once the kickoff took place and he got under center, you know, he forgot all about that that injury, threw for over 300 yards and did a marvelous job.
Well, let's focus on that Chiefs defense because we've been suffering through the Chiefs defense and their lack of tackling, including, of course, most recently against that Pittsburgh team, which of course, has turned itself around back in a negative direction the last couple weeks. What are the key things on that Chiefs defense that have turned around? Certainly the secondary is much more consistent now, with the exception of Ty Law falling down. They've got a more consistent secondary. They seem to have a bit of a pass rush now with Tamba Ali and Jared Allen. What else?
Well, I think the linebackers are playing better. Derrick Johnson is now in his second year, and he's over that first-year thing, and he understands a lot more about defense and what they're trying to accomplish under defensive coordinator Gunther Cunningham. And so the linebacking is doing a much better job. And on occasion, the defensive tackles are getting a push up the middle. You know, they've had a real problem with defensive tackles here in the last few years, trying to get a push up the middle and get in the face of the quarterback. Well, they're not doing it as consistently as they would like, but they are getting it occasionally. And the defensive backs are playing pretty well. The safeties are playing well. Greg Westley is having one heck of a year back there at the strong safety or free safety once he's playing. And so they're getting better. They're understanding. And they're giving – see, they've had people like rookies. Rivers came up here, never played at Arrowhead. And you know what Arrowhead is like and how loud it gets. And yesterday, the backup quarterback, Sonika Wallace, was playing there. And Gunther Cunningham showed him all kinds of sets defensively. He had Tamba Ali, who's a defensive end, playing linebacker. Oops, no, he's not going to play linebacker. He's coming up into the line of scrimmage. Then, oops, he's going back again. And the head of that quarterback was just swiveling because he didn't know what the heck was going on over there. Eventually snapped the ball, and he just got tackled back there for a 3 or 4 yard loss. So defensively, they're understanding their scheme much better than they have in the last couple of years, and they're getting better.
And offensively, Eddie Kennison with an outstanding catch for, I think, 51
yes.
yards there. One of the better catches of this season as well. But most importantly, my theory, I'm becoming conservative in my old age, and when you look at the way that the offensive and defensive lines are performing, that's usually what's happening with the quarterbacks, with the game itself. And you get that push with that offensive line. You get a Larry Johnson who's big enough to wield some intimidation on the defense. Harkening back to the days of Christian Okoye, he actually breaks Christian's carry record yesterday as well. And my question to you is this. When you look at teams that have had trouble, that have talent, like the Philadelphia Eagles, but don't have, or for that matter, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that have lost a dominant running back that can intimidate the defense, that can wear them down. Then in the fourth quarter, you can't wear them out. Is that the problem right now with Philadelphia, and is that the reason why the Chiefs are able to win games in the fourth quarter?
Nick, you know as well as I do, If you don't have a running game, you got problems. I don't care how good the talent is in the passing game. You got to have a running game to keep those people honest over there. And Kansas City's got that. Now, they're all keying on Larry Johnson, you know. But the thing is, if you get him by the line of scrimmage, he really can do some damage in a couple of ways. One, he can run over those defensive backs, and he can out-juke them, too. And once he gets into the open field, he can outrun them. Now, yesterday, he got loose on a run. It's the first time in 2 years that I've been watching him that he's been caught from behind. A defensive back caught him from behind.
And that's right.
That's the first time that I have seen it. But the thing is, he can pound on you, pound on you, pound on you, and then what you might take care of it for a couple of quarters, but he's going to come at you in the fourth quarter as well. And
well, we're going to go to the fourth quarter of this show. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Len Dawson, and we're also going to be joined by Lewis Choker to talk about the fourth quarter, talk about harnessing emotion, whether it's the Chiefs game, whether it's the Carolina Cowboys game, or whether it is the big game with Indianapolis and Denver last night. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
My life absolutely rules. See, this guy I like, his favorite band is coming to town on his birthday. I'm thinking, tickets, perfect gift. What? Sold out? I'm about to lose my cool when someone on the radio goes,
even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? TicketsNow.com.
Ah, sweet. I go to TicketsNow.com, and within minutes, the tickets are mine. Mr. Birthday Boy says, oh, baby, you got the sweet seats. I say, Tickets Now. He goes, yeah. So I say, Tickets Now is awesome. And he says, and you are amazing. He puts his arm around me and says, now, come sit a little closer. Score! Yes!
Tickets Now. How close would you like to sit?
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendinitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
If you're a fan of pro wrestling or someone who's always wondered what goes on behind the scenes, you can find out the inside stories, the scandals, and what's going to happen before it airs on television by subscribing to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. I'm Dave Meltzer, host of Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network, and the Observer is the publication read by the biggest stars and most influential people in wrestling to find out what's really happening. You can go to www.wrestlingobserver.com for information on how to subscribe, the current issue, and how you can get up to 2 free issues. And don't forget to join us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games. We're joined by Len Dawson, formerly the host of HBO's Inside the NFL and My Bet as the best guy covering the NFL anywhere in the country. We're going to shift to the hated rivals of the Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, in a big confrontation against Indianapolis. Most people, including myself, thought that Denver had the edge in that game, especially when one would find out that they had 227 yards rushing. They had no interceptions from Jake the Snake, 13 for 21 for 174 yards, a very competent performance by him. And yet, once again, Peyton Manning and the Colts found a way to win. Tell me about this game as best as you can take it.
Are you speaking to me, Nick?
To Leonard.
Leonard, yes. I would be Leonard. They have found a way to win how many times this year? About three or four times where they've had to come up with some plays late in the ball game to get it done. And Peyton Manning is just unflappable, I do believe. He knows so much about the offense that he doesn't need a coach. He knows that much about the offense. And he just has so much confidence in himself to get the job done that it happens. I mean, if you don't start with that, Nick, you have no chance. But he has that feeling, and he's done it before, and that's the thing. If you've done it before, you get that feeling that just like you kicking a 50-yard field goal, when you go out there and say, hey, I can do this, I've done it before. And I think that's a situation that he is in. And not only that, since he does it, the rest of his teammates believe him in as well. You know, they don't have any doubts that he can get the ball to them if they get open. So it's the feeling that, you know, just spreads, and it starts from Peyton Manning all the way through that offense.
You know, Len, also, I'll add that it's nice when a team understands the value. Not that I'm biased in this, but when you acquire a kicker you can depend on. Look what's happened with the Atlanta Falcons, with Michael Vick, with Morton Anderson kicking six field goals a few weeks ago, then a game winner the next week, and then three key field goals yesterday to beat Cincinnati. And I, for the life of me, for the brilliance of Bill Belichick, how they could have let an Adam Vinatieri go and give that variable to the Indianapolis Colts, give them the guy that they know they can depend on late in the game. It changes the level of confidence. It gives them one more sense of focus as they go down that field for the late score in the game. And I just can't understand how a player of that dependable magnitude like a Vinatieri was allowed to be let go by the Patriots.
I guess it's called money, Nick. That'd be the only reason I could understand. And how about him, though? Vinatieri going to play half his game indoors. Doesn't have to worry about anything. Don't have to have that snow plow that they had up there in New England 1 year, whenever it was, against the Raiders, I guess it was, to have a nice little area there so where he could get his foot planted. But you're right. When you take a look at so many of these games in the NFL these days, they're decided by 3 points, thereabouts. And that means the kicker gets involved, and the guy that is successful kicking the ball. I saw it with Kansas City against San Diego here just last week, where they kicked a 53-yard field goal, and then there was, what, a 63-yarder, and there was another long field goal. Well, maybe it was Anderson that kicked the shorter one, but there were three games right there last week decided at the end of the game by a field goal kicker. So I don't know what Belichick does up there, why the reasoning behind it, but this guy's a heck of a kicker, and he's been under pressure in Super Bowls. And so that's the type of guy you want.
Now, as you look at the Denver defense, only allowed 2 touchdowns, none at home. What was Manning able to do? I watched a couple of the plays with Reggie Wayne, and it looked like he split John Lynch and the defensive back and got John Lynch to commit early to the short drop and force him, and it created a lot of space for Reggie Wayne twice in the back of the end zone.
Peyton Manning is a smart individual. You know what they do that's doing so well? They make adjustments. They make adjustments during the game. They might even make an adjustment during a particular play after it's been called in the huddle. You know, and when you have the relationship that Manning has with his receivers, he knows where they are at all the time, and if he's getting the protection and he has enough time, he's going to get the ball to one of those guys. And I think that they're great receivers because they don't drop many passes. I don't see too many passes dropped by the Indianapolis Colts. And maybe that's because Peyton throws a ball that's easily catchable. But the thing is, they're all on the same page. You know, and it starts with intelligence, in my opinion. Intelligence from the quarterback position, intelligence from the rest of the positions as well. That, you know, that they can make adjustments when they have to.
And it also starts with an offensive line. Getting back to that, we had Howard Mudd on the show a week and a half ago talking about the simple scheme they have there. Bill Moss has talked about it as well. You have a zone blocking scheme. You have interchangeable parts. You've had the same basic offensive line for a couple years in a row. And they didn't allow Manning to be sacked even once yesterday.
But, you know, you hit on what, why are they successful? They protect him. Now, I'm going back to a playoff game. I forget who it was against. Maybe it was New England. They didn't protect him. And so, consequently, he was just like another quarterback out there. A quarterback has to have the protection to get the job done. You don't have to sack him even. If you can get in his face to impair his vision downfield where he might make a bad decision on who to throw the football to, that's just as effective as a sack sometimes, because oftentimes you'll come up with an interception. But it starts with the big, and the game has never changed, Nick. It starts with the big guys up front on both sides of the ball. If they get the job done, generally you could be successful.
Herman Edwards said yesterday, it's the same message he's been preaching to the Chiefs all year. It's about will. It's about who wants to win more badly. We're going to bring in Dr. Louis Choka, who founded West Point Center for Enhanced Performances, which has helped put 10,000 cadets through training for battle, the ultimate kind of pressure. And Louis, you watched that Cowboys-Panthers game last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Let's talk about the notion of will and its relationship to harnessing emotion. It looked as if early in the game that the Cowboys were headed for another embarrassing defeat, and John Madden was talking about how this wasn't the same Bill Parcells without emotion, and yet it was as if he allowed his team to finally show some leadership itself. The Cowboys team was a different team that last three quarters. They took control of the game, and conversely, the Panthers didn't seem to have any emotion.
Well, it's not actually what I saw, Nick, was I saw three different teams out there in terms of the Panthers. As you said rightfully, in the first quarter there, in those first two touchdowns, you saw the perfect balance in terms of, being up and emotional and so forth. Then you saw a long period of time when they kind of almost became lethargic about the whole thing. Then at the end, of course, they got emotional again because they realized they've got to get more intense, but I think they became too intense. You know, one of the things you have to think about, what's the purpose of generating emotion? And I think it's to create energy. But you have to have the right amount of energy, keeping that in balance. And there are a number of examples throughout that last 10 minutes where key players, veterans, really lost it in terms of fumbling, dropping balls. Keyshawn Johnson was a great example. He beat the Dallas cornerback, was headed for the end zone, and he dropped the ball. I mean, it's a ball that should never have been dropped. And even that interview afterwards, he said, "I was just trying to score. I was thinking about trying to score and didn't look it all the way in.
They're trying too hard.
I was too intense." He even said, "I was too intense. As a result of that, I focused on the wrong thing."
Len Dawson, what does this Cowboys win last night mean? To me, it means their season is still full of hope for the playoffs.
I think so, and I think, you know, when Parcells made the switch at quarterbacking position, he came under a lot of fire. There are some that thought it was a good idea, but there's also a lot of other people who didn't think it was a very good idea, putting Romo in there as starting quarterback. And so what it's going to do for the team, it's going to justify Parcells' move to switching quarterbacks, because, you're judged on success, I think, as a football player. You know, what can this guy do? You know, potential? Yeah, he's got potential, but can he transfer that onto the playing field and accomplish something out there? So I think, Dallas got a good defense. They've had a good defense for the last couple of years. It's been the offense that's been the problem. And one of the big problems was protecting the quarterback, as I said before. Bledsoe's not the type of guy that can get out of too many people's way once they put the heat on him. So for the Cowboys, what it tells them, they can still get to the playoffs.
Well, let's talk about the reverse of having a great running game. That when you add a Romo, a quarterback that is able to, shall we say, find a way around the vulnerabilities of that Dallas offensive line and give them a little bit more time, it creates maybe a little bit more space for the running game. Explain to the listener, Len Dawson, how a mobile quarterback can actually, in reverse, help your running game.
All right, let's take Drew Bledsoe. Where is he going to be when he throws the ball? He's going to be 7 yards behind the offensive center, directly behind him. And so you, as a defensive lineman or a linebacker who is blitzing, you know where he's going to be. And so, you know, you can take that route to get to him as quickly as you possibly can. But say that a guy has got some mobility, he might run some bootlegs, he may just roll out one way or another. You don't know that he's always going to be behind the center. He's not going to be there all the time. So you may hesitate after you take your first step or so to try to locate the quarterback and where he is. that could be enough time for that offensive lineman to take control of that block to give your quarterback time to throw, whether he's back in the pocket directly behind the center or whether he's moving one way or another. It just gives more options to the offense and give more problems to the defense to try to figure out where that guy is going to be.
What about when you go, as you did in your career, from a backup quarterback, you were a starter most of your career, but when you make that faithful jump to the starting quarterback position, all eyes are on you, but you're also getting more reps in practice. And while Romo had a lot of reps, some say the most ever by a backup in the preseason, it's a different thing during the week, during the regular season, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, practice is one thing, but game time is another. Adrenaline is flowing, just like the good doctor was talking about. Emotions are much different before a football game than it is before a practice session. Oftentimes, you know this, that you want to say, well, geez, I hope I can get through practice today. I don't feel all that well. Just hope they don't run me too much or whatever. But you go in and you know what you're capable of doing. You have to enjoy, I think, a little success. And coaches can do that because they're calling the plays. And they can put a quarterback, a young quarterback, in position to make easier throws to start the game. Screen passes, little hitches, things like that, quick slants, things that are not too difficult to throw and also don't take very long to get rid of the football once you get the snap from center. So you can help a young quarterback in that regard. And if he gets a little success, then he'll have more confidence, and the rest of the teammates on that team are going to see that, and they'll have more confidence in him.
Well, and they had Julius Jones not only at the running game, but then they had Jason Witten catching six passes, and our old friend Terrell Owens with his first game over 100 yards. I heard a collective moan across the country, but at the same time, I think it was also a moan with pass defenses that know that he's going to be a favorite target of Mr. Romo. When we come back, we're going to talk about who was the pressure player in the NFL this week with Len Dawson and Dr. Lewis Choker, and who was the choke artist, who is the guy that unfortunately is the biggest hindrance to a team winning in the NFL this week. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
Don't let the high cost of healthcare keep you from getting critical medical care when you desperately need it. Because now there's an affordable solution. Prudent Choice is a healthcare discount program that gives you and your family discounts of 10 to 60% off the cost of doctors, dentists, hospitals, prescription drugs, and more. With a provider network of over 850,000 doctors, hospitals, dentists, and pharmacies, Prudent Choice members can easily take advantage of cost savings nationwide. Even chiropractic, hearing, and vision care are included. And here's the best part. $39.99 per month covers all your health care needs. That's little more than a dollar a day for all the health care services you'll need. Don't let the high cost of medical care stand in the way of you and your family's good health. Call Prudent Choice now at 1-800-231-0429. That's 1-800-231-0429. Call now. Get $300 in health care services free. Call in the next 9 minutes, and with annual membership, get 2 months free. Call Prudent Choice at 1-800-231-0429. 1-800-231-0429.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596.
Or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states. So call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Len Dawson, Dr. Louis Choka. Tomorrow's show we'll have HBO's Inside the NFL host Bob Costas and CBS Golf's Gary McCord. Len Dawson, what message do you want me to deliver to Bob Costas on the show tomorrow?
Tell him I'll see him in a couple of weeks. Because they're celebrating their 30th anniversary on Inside the NFL, the longest running show on cable television.
And you were on there for almost 20?
No, I was on 24 years.
24 years. Well, we wish you were still on there, my friend. Well, who was your... Let's start with the negative side. Who was the choke artist of the week in the NFL for you?
Geez, I don't know, though. I haven't seen all of the games. I don't know if I can answer that. I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs game and broadcasting that one. And I'd have to give it to the holder who muffed the snap. And then tried to throw it or whatever the heck he tried to do, and it ended up the guy picked it up and ran in for a touchdown. So fortunately for him, the Chiefs eventually won the football game, but that was not a good move.
I'm going to give it to Bill Cowher for thinking just because the doctors passed Ben Roethlisberger that he can't win unless Ben is their quarterback. It reminds me of Andy Reid, and unless they can have more confidence in their backups, make sure that Ben is healthy, they're in for an even longer season. My outstanding player of the week, well, Peyton Manning, obviously it's an easy pick there. Damon Heward, because he just doesn't get the credit. The guy has been almost without error in his role,
yeah,
backing
right
up Trent Green. And maybe also Adam Vinatieri, just because he's brought that level of confidence to Indianapolis that may be the telling last margin for them as they march towards the Super Bowl. What about you, Dr. Choka?
Well, I'd have to say, I hate to say this, Coach Fox, who called the timeout just when the Panthers blocked the field goal, a very critical field goal.
And why is that?
Well, he was afraid that there were too many people on the field, and called a timeout, even though the play went and they blocked the field goal. Then, of course, they did it again, and they scored a critical point at that point.
Well, thank you both for joining us, and Leonard, we wish you well the rest of the week. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully just the fact that the Chiefs are learning to win, even if it's ugly in that fourth quarter, is the most important thing for them.
They'll take a win no matter what it looks like. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Len Dawson, one of the best. Dr. Choka as well. We're going to start calling it Choka's Choke Award, and we'll start doing that every week. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Head Games Radio. Tomorrow, Bob Costas of Inside the NFL about the World Series, because Bob is one of the great experts covering baseball as well as, of course, Inside the NFL. And we're going to have a special Halloween treat with CBS Golf's zany Gary McCord. Stay with us tomorrow. As always, thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Check out headgamesradio.com for all the highlights. See you tomorrow.